Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri podcast with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
How you been, Bev?
Good, good. Time is flying by, and I am so ready for spring weather and get outside and play in the dirt.
Yeah, well, you're known for that. So how's your April going?
It's going good, good, good. I tell you what, I love plants and flowers and everything. And my amaryllis that usually bloom at Christmas time are blooming now. They are so mixed up. But Easter works too. It works.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time a very special guest. So I'm just so delighted and tickled that he graciously consented to being our guest here today. James, welcome to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri.
Thank you all very much.
Now, this is, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, James Rogers. Is that correct, James?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Well, James, as we said at the onset before we actually began the recording, is that we like to start off talking about your vision loss. So what was the result or cause of your vision loss?
So actually, it started when I was about in between 3 and 4 years old when I was living in Florida. My mama had noticed that I had a cataract over my left eye and basically it freaked out. And then they took me to the doctor and found out that, you know, obviously I had a cataract, but I also had my retina had detached in my left eye. And then it stems from my mama's father, a history of retinal detachment. And then so over the years, I was never able to get back the vision in my left eye, but I kept the vision in my right eye. And then over the years, it just kind of went back and forth until I was about 12 years old. And then it kind of stayed steady until I was about 19. And then it kind of went back and forth again. And then at 21 is when I ended up losing it. And the results of me losing it was from trauma to the head, I'll just say. And then today, actually, I have two kids, but my son, he's 3 years old. And I wanted to make sure that they, you know, were not going to end up having the same vision problems as me. So, you know, we went through all the proper procedures and everything. And we did some genetics testing. And come to find out, I actually have something called Stickler syndrome, which when you have Stickler syndrome, there's a lot of different things that you can get medically. But one of the most common things that you will have a result of Stickler syndrome is severe nearsightedness, which is what causes retinal detachment.
Okay, very good. Very, very good. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Sounds like, James, you and I have something in common, because when I was 12 years old, I had a cataract come up on my right eye, and they were going to remove it right after I graduated the sixth grade. Unfortunately, I was playing baseball in an open field with some friends, and it was almost dark. And when the batter hit the ball, the fielder fielded it, threw it over to me. I didn't see it because it was almost dark. And we had wrapped the baseball in black electrical tape, and it struck the eye, causing the eye to hemorrhage. So I had to have my right eye removed. So I kind of know what you're talking about when you're having that retinal detachment. And I had the same thing in my left eye due to a football injury. So, and they were able to put silicone around it. It held for a while, but I caught pneumonia, and every time I'd cough or sneeze, the retina became detached. So yeah, kind of have something in common there. So again, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And you mentioned just very briefly there about your family. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
So I have three sisters, and me, my oldest sister, and then the sister who's beneath me in age, we all three have experienced the retinal detachment. Every single one of us has had a surgery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, do they live close by, or are they still in Florida?
No. Everybody lives here now because we originally are from Louisiana, and then we had moved to Missouri. But they basically live right down the street.
Oh, okay, good. Are you close with your siblings?
Yeah.
Okay, and both parents living?
Yes.
All right, very good. And where do you fall in with the group of your siblings? I mean, are you the oldest, or in the middle somewhere, or where do you fall in?
I'm the second to oldest. So my sister, she's 27. I'm 26. And then I have a 24-year-old sister, and then I have a 17, about to be 18-year-old sister.
Okay, all right. So, and where do you call home now?
It's Park Hills in St. Francis County.
Okay, all right, very good. And you went to public school?
I attended public school until I was 12. So, like, when I was 12, what had happened is I actually had to have 10 surgeries back to back to back in a matter of 2 months. And then that's when my parents had found out about the Missouri School for the Blind. So when I was supposed to be going into middle school, I was transferred to MSB. And then I attended MSB until my senior year. And then I left MSB, and then I graduated from my public school at Central High School in Park Hill.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Now, do you have any residual vision remaining, or are you totally blind?
Essentially, all I know is when a light's on, and if the sun's up, that's basically it. I would still have vision, but there's like an intense fog that I have to look through. So it's too much to even try to look. So I just keep my eyes closed on a regular basis. I don't even try to use the vision I do have.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And, so what was life like for you after you graduated high school? Did you go to college anywhere, or what did you do?
I kind of acted like an idiot. I ended up not going to college. Kind of became a party animal, and just did basically really what it was is all those experiences that I wasn't able to have when I was a teenager, since I was going to MSB. I ended up having when I was about 19 after I had graduated. So like going to like the football games and, you know, late night drives and going about, you know, back roads and stuff like that, hanging out with a bunch of different people. That's what I just started doing. Started experiencing that type of life, because going to MSB, it was more so like, you know, I was a residential student, and it was just all about sports and extracurricular activities. So I didn't really have the time to really do anything at home. So, yeah.
All right. So after you did graduate high school, did you go to work anywhere, or what did you do? What'd you wind up doing?
Oh, I've only had a job through like an actual establishment for about 3 months ever. And I worked at a store called Ultimate Vapor. And then when I was 20 years old, I ended up having to have a surgery. And so I had to quit the job because, you know, after the surgery, having to heal back up and, you know, all that. And so I just never went back.
All right. And you mentioned that you're married. How long have you been married?
Our 5th year anniversary is on April 21st of this month.
All right. So, and again, how many children did you said you have?
I have a 3-year-old son, and then I have a 1-year-old daughter.
All right. Very good. Good time to, you know, to be raising kids, and especially when they're that young. Oh my. Yes.
I don't know about all that.
Oh yeah. Now, wait a minute, James, your wife's going to hear this.
Yeah, well, she knows how I feel. I mean, I love my kids, you know, like they're my entire world, but they give me a lot of grief, especially my daughter. She's worse than my son.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's a lot to handle.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's
just
a fool.
Just wait.
And what are the names of your two children?
So my son's name, his name is Creed, uh-huh. And then my daughter's name is Athena.
Oh, all right. Pretty. Very, very pretty. How'd you and your wife meet?
Here it comes. He was out drag racing somewhere.
I'm trying to decide whether or not to basically just through social media. We'll just say that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. That's just fine. Well, thank you, James. I'm going to turn it over to Bev. I tell you, she gets that set with when she doesn't get her time. So, Bev, I'm going to push it over to you.
Yeah, and he asked all my questions too, James. But wow, you know, when you talk about going through all that as a child, there had to be some challenges that you faced too at such a young age. I was 12 years old when I came down with a rare skin disease, and I couldn't go back to school at sixth grade because I had to have a tutor at home. And boy, what a difference going back. So did you face a lot of those challenges with other schoolmates?
So actually, when I was younger, not too much really, because I still had vision in my right eye. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to play football, and I could play, you know, baseball, and I could ride a bike, and I could skateboard and everything. So I was into basically anything you would, you know, think of a typical young boy would be into. And most of the students who attended school with me didn't believe me when I would tell them that I was actually blind. And so I ended up getting a cataract in my left eye. Uh-huh. And we just, you know, never did nothing about it because why? You know, I was already blind in it. But then I ended up getting one in my right eye for a certain amount of time. And so what I would start to do to, you know, my friends and everything, would I would say, hey, you want to see a magic trick? And they'd be like, sure. And I would like, look into my eyes. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd close my eyes, and I'd be like, now look in the center of my eyes. And they'd be like, oh, whoa. And they weren't paying attention the first time. So they're like, how'd you do that? And I was like, those are the cataracts. That's why I'm blind. I'm not lying to you. And then right before I had left my public school, that's when finally everybody eventually ended up believing me, because I had just mm-hmm. had a surgery. And so I came back to school, and my eye was just, you know, bloodshot, and it just looked all types of messed up from the surgery.
Yeah.
And they
uh-huh.
were like, what happened to your eye? And I was like, I told you, you know, uh-huh. and just nobody ever believed me.
Yeah.
And so I never really had any hard experiences, you know, when I was younger, unless mm-hmm. it was dark. And then mm-hmm. it kind of became a different story. If I was climbing in a tree or something of that nature, or like one time I remember we was at Save-A-Lot and I'd gotten into the wrong van, and my parents just sat there and laughed at me until some old lady got in the van with me. So.
Oh my gosh. I bet you were a prankster too.
Oh, for sure. For yeah. sure.
James, when you outside in the sun for a while and then came inside, did that kind of bother your
oh,
vision?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It did me too. Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Bev.
No, I could tell Chip can relate with a lot of this.
Oh, yes.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I started wearing sunglasses when I was about 10
oh, yeah.
years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah
so
me too.
If,
yeah.
Yeah. If you ever look at any picture of me, I always have sunglasses on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that's when I was 12 is when it happened to me, and my eyes were so sensitive to the light.
Yeah.
To anything.
Sure.
So every picture, I usually have my head down or looking away from that camera because of the flash would hurt, you know, too. Or my dad smoked, and cigarette smoke just killed my
mm-hmm.
eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we make it through. I guess
yeah.
that's what makes us who we are now.
Yeah.
My brother one time told me, and this was just maybe 15 years ago, I was telling him some things about what was going on, and he said, well, you know, you're building character. And I said, yeah, but don't you think I've got enough character? I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, James, I also wear a saguaro shell because my left eye always looks so bloodshot. So I decided to get a shell to cover the eye because cosmetic reasons, because the eye always looked bloodshot.
Yeah, that was a problem I had for the longest time is people always be asking me, they'd be like, are you high? I'm like,
Oh, yeah, I remember that too. I was about 19, 20 years old, and I'd love to go dancing. And, oh, my gosh, the guys would look at me and think that I was high on something. And
uh-huh.
I hated to admit that I had an eye problem. you know, to any of them. I didn't ever want to be any different than anybody else. But I guess you didn't get to drive, but have you ever driven?
So, yeah, so I have 100% driven illegally a lot. And then when I was 19 years old, I'd had a surgery, and they removed the oil bubble out of my eye. And so typically the oil bubble is in your eye to hold that retina in place. So when they took that out, I wasn't having to look through it no more. So I actually, for about maybe 6 months, was able to see at 19 years old, since like better than I had been able to see since I was maybe about 9. And so I just immediately started doing all types of stuff I had never been able to do before, like driving down the highway.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was real fun. But then it went away really fast, but at least I got to do it.
Chip, since you've been blind, have you ever driven?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have?
Well, oh, yeah, yeah. Not very far. My wife would never let me do that, but yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I've had friends have offered to take me to some parking lot and let me just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know if they're just kidding. But, but yeah, someday we're going to drive. We're going to drive. It may be up in the air, you know, with the Jetsons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about us being able to steer the steering wheel, but if you get a Tesla and you get the AI4, the 5, it's like $100 a month for the subscription, and it's totally self-driving.
Mm. Wow, it sounds like you've looked into this.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you, where you live now, do they have public transportation, or do you totally depend on your wife to help you with transportation?
Typically, it's just my old lady. But
here we go again with the old lady.
But they do that. They got Steve's Taxi, and they got a, you know, we got Uber now. We just got that back in like October, and that's, I was just talking to Colin and Lee and Josh about going in and getting a guide dog. Because I know I make her mad when I'm like, hey, can you take me, you know, over here or there or whatever?
Yeah.
And it would be so great to be able to go to AutoZone or Harbor Freight just totally by myself.
Yes.
So looking into that, and then I'm going to try to figure out how to get a Tesla.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what, Chip, I've been so excited to hear people like James and Lee and Colin, you know, Josh, all getting excited, you know, with BLVCM.
Sure.
So what are some of the things? Okay, you're public relations, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What would you like to do with BLVCM?
I would say that that list is going to probably be never ending.
Yeah.
But a lot. A lot. I've been trying to get in contact with a lot of different places, a lot of different people. Me and Josh just got off the phone the other day. We were talking about, I'm interested in trying to find out whether or not we could get a BLVCM food truck. I'm interested in trying to start an annual festival, because I was telling him, you know, it's relatively cheap to get a snow cone machine, cotton candy, popcorn, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go to certain places, like up here in Farmington, they got a Grand True Value Rental Party Plus, and I can go rent bouncy houses and et cetera. And you can rent out a section of the park over here next to me for $50 for the entire day. And so if we could go get, you know, some of these machines and some bouncy houses and maybe one of the smaller like amusement rides, like one of the small like roller coasters for like toddlers and stuff like that, and do some face painting, sell some, you know, t-shirts. Like next month I'm going to be getting a Cricut. I'm going to start making some BLVCM hoodies and t-shirts and hats and things of that nature.
That's great.
And so if we could set something up like that, it would be, it would be really awesome. And I told them, you know, like the first time we do it, it might not be that big, but word of mouth would really help us out. But that first time, once we let people know this will be an annual thing, it will be this time, you know, on this day every single year, and we start doing that in multiple locations throughout the state, it will just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And maybe within, you know, 5 to 10 years, we could literally start having, you know, a BLVCM carnival. And I think doing something like that would really, really generate a lot of money. And then the BLVCM food truck, our president, Jeff, you know, he already does some barbecue catering. So, and then it would also be great for if we say we wanted to, like, we're going to the Lincoln County Fair in Troy, you know, in July. What if we had a food truck? And then it's blind and or visually impaired people that are giving you your food. I just think things like that would really, really do great. It would bring a lot of money in to help out the organization, whether it be for any of the programs or the fundraising, you know, no matter what it is. And I've been in contact with Silver Dollar City and then the water park down there and then the Dixie Stampede. And then the, I don't know if y'all are familiar, but down there in Branson, the Hay Goods.
I'm not.
So it's a family that they're all musicians and they perform down there and they're pretty popular. And then also at that same theater, they also have impersonators. So like Johnny Cash, Elvis, Michael Jackson, et cetera. So I've been in contact with them. And this is the only thing I've been able to find out for the Branson, for the Social Quarter event, is being able to, while we're there, get up on stage, introduce ourselves, let people know, you know, who we are, what we do, et cetera. And then me and Jeff was talking about doing a white cane walk while we're in Branson. And I was actually in contact with the city and I'm trying to get it organized where we will be able to block off a section of downtown and any of the members who go will be able to do a white cane walk and we'll hold up a BLVCM banner while we're walking.
That's great.
But ideas are going to just keep on coming and flowing and it will be never ending. And, you know, that's one of the things that I had spoke to Josh about because he was really adamant about trying to get me involved with the MCB. And, you know, I basically just told him if I'm not able to be somebody who's going to be, you know, have a voice, if I cannot be active, if we're not constantly doing things, if we're not getting out there and speaking to people, like, for example, in October, we're going to be able to go to the Fox News channel in St. Louis for the local Fox News for White Cane Day. That's the type of stuff that I'm trying to do. I want people to know who we are. I want people to know what we do, what we strive for, what our mission is. And I also want the world to understand and comprehend that just because you're blind does not mean that you're incapable.
Let me know, because I would love to help you out with any of that.
Well, y'all were some of the people I spoke to Josh about, because I told him the people in the organization, just as of right now, because, you know, it's a new organization, but those who are truly, you know, actively involved, you know, y'all, Wanda, Jeff, Tammy, Alicia, Josh, Robert, Naomi, all the people who are actively involved, Linda, you know, I'm new to it, but I've heard all those names. And, you know, just like I told Josh the other day, if I hear somebody's name consistently, I know that they're doing something. They're very involved.
Yeah.
And so like with that festival or with that food truck, it'd be really great, you know, down in y'all's area, wherever y'all are located, y'all could set up an event and we're able to, you know, especially during the summertime, it ain't nothing, but in a month we could be in four different locations throughout the weekends.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
well, who's on your committee?
Well, that's the thing. So as of right now, it's just me and Josh. And I'm looking to get some folks out of the rest of the state.
Good.
And I would like to cover East, South, North, West, Central, and then some people in between. Ideally, I would like minimum to have like 10 to 15 different people. That way we really can be active in any time that I'm able to get an event set up. There's somebody that I can delegate to be, you know, hey, this is what I got planned. Do you think you could take this over down there since, you know, you're on the committee and this is the area you live in? So, but my ideas are never ending. What I want to do, what I'm striving for, and what I hope for this organization to grow into, it will never end. There will always be something new. I will always have a new plan. And especially, you know, being able to have friends and, you know, make new friends through the organization and be able to talk to people. And even like y'all, because I know that y'all have been involved with, you know, different organizations such as, you know, MCB and then Jeff, having people who are experienced in this field and be able to gain knowledge from y'all, it will make our lives so much easier, but we'll be able to take from y'all and be able to, you know, build and build and build.
I vote for you. You got my vote. What are you running for? I love it. I love the enthusiasm.
Yes, yes.
I love all these ideas.
Yes.
You have just said the right things. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chip.
I want to back up and then come back into a lot more with BLVCM, but let me back up. When you were at the Missouri School for the Blind, you were involved with sports. Was there any one sport that you really enjoyed maybe a little bit better than the others?
So if I'm being honest, sports, not – so the one sport that I was just, you know, enamored with would have been goalball. But because I had retinal detachment, I ended up not being able to play goalball until my senior year. And that's basically because I told my doctor, like, look, if you don't sign the paper, I'm going to find somebody to sign that paper. I'm going to play because, like, I want to play. And so he signed the paper, and I got to play for about 3 months. But, you know, then at that point, I had ended up leaving MSB. But while I attended, my favorite thing would have been the Beta Club. That was absolutely amazing. It was a joy. It was fantastic being able to go to the state conferences, whether it was junior beta or senior beta, going to the national conferences, being able, like, my one of the last trips I was able to go to, we went to Orlando, to Disney World or Land, whichever one's in Orlando.
That
was just fantastic, you know. And then Nashville, Tennessee, we had went to a national conference. And actually, in the ninth grade, it was the first time that the Missouri School for the Blind ever placed in group talent, and not to, like, be cocky or anything, but it was all because of me. And I am a percussionist. I like to drum. And so basically I was like, hey, why don't we just get a bunch of trash and beat on it? And so we got totes and trash cans and ladders and you name it. And I taught everybody rhythmic patterns. And we put a thing together, and we went to the state conference, and we took first place, and we beat the school that had won, or they had won 17 years in a row.
Oh, my God.
17 years in a row, they took first place, and we beat them. And that was when I was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite. And then, second would have been track. If I had to choose a sport, it would have been track.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
He lights a fire, doesn't he? He lights a fire under people.
So, James, here you are as an adult. Do you still follow sports at all? Do you have a favorite team?
I couldn't have a care in the world if I not at all. And he wants to talk to me about Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahone, and he wants to talk about the Super Bowl and you know, this, that, and the other. Him and his dad is constantly arguing about the Bucks and the Bears and this, that, and the other. I'm like, man, I'm blind nowadays. I can't see it. It's, you know, it's different, you know. When I could see, I didn't even really enjoy a sport unless I could play it or I could, you know, participate. I never followed, you know, the Rams or the Blues or the Saints or the Packers or, you know, the Ravens or the Falcons or nothing. Yeah. I like playing football, but I didn't watch football.
Right.
It wasn't my cup of tea.
And does your wife work?
Yeah, she works.
And what does
she
do?
She is a cake decorator.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, very good.
I bet she's busy right now getting orders for Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Cookies, cupcakes, cakes.
And how did you and Josh and Leah, how'd you guys get together and become such good friends?
So I've known Josh since I was 12 years old when I first started attending MSB. I showed up 2 weeks later than him. So I've been friends with him basically since then. Then Lee showed up when I was 14, and you know, we've been friends since. And then Colin, I think I was 17. He showed up in my junior year, I believe. And so we've been friends since then.
All right. Very good.
All of us met at MSB.
Yeah. And some of the things that you were mentioning, like doing the hoodies, the ball caps, all that stuff, I get information, emails from companies from time to time with all that kind of stuff. I'm going to start forwarding that stuff to you, and you can subscribe to their emails and all that, because they always come out with some really great stuff, whether you're talking about glassware, tumblers, pins, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And when you were talking about that, I was really getting excited about it because I've been thinking about that for a while.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. And you know, that's another thing is like I had told Josh, it would have been nothing to get a cricket, and then we can just find somewhere where you can buy t-shirts or you name it in bulk. But say for example, cups, you know, things of that nature,
Yeah.
some type of you know, kitchenware. If
Sure.
we could buy our own clay, we could buy our own glaze and brushes, and we could get our own kiln, and we could all just start making it ourselves.
Sure.
That way, that other than buying material, everything from that point is just profit.
Yeah.
So it would
Wow.
be really, really, really great.
Yeah.
And then my
So,
old lady, she's very, very, very artistic. So she would be a fantastic help when it came to anything like that.
So who was it really that was responsible for getting you involved with BLVCM? Was it Josh? I mean, who was it?
Josh, basically, yeah, it was just Josh, and he wouldn't shut up about it for about a month. And I finally was like, "Look, man, I'll go ahead and do it, but I'm just forewarning you. If they're not, you know, motivated, if people ain't active, if people ain't trying to get out there and get something done, I ain't gonna be able to stay." And I had joined the NFB, and what a joke! What a joke! Okay. I went to
How you
about
really feel, Dave.
I went to about three meetings, and every single meeting that we went to, and this is nothing against the president, you know, or nothing like, hopefully, you know, if they hear this, nothing against you, Roger. But anyway, each meeting I went to, it was just obvious that those members, and this was just one chapter, but those members, they weren't motivated, they weren't ready, they didn't have brass, they didn't have initiative. They didn't want to get out there and do. I went to the meetings three different times in a row and kept on talking about selling candy bars. Every single time I showed up, I would have to reiterate everything I had said from the previous meeting. And be like, "Oh, we can get a snow cone machine and sit outside Walmart and sell them for a buck." I had to repeat that to these people three different times. So I was like, "I'm done. Y'all ain't doing nothing." And for me, if like if that one chapter isn't doing something, that tells me that the entire organization. Maybe there's some people that, you know, are out there and they're ready and raring to go. But if that one chapter is built like that and that's how they function, to me, the whole organization, they can't be too good or else that chapter wouldn't exist. You know what I mean?
I've got one last question, then I'm going to push it back over to Bev. Oh, while you were at MSB, did you learn things like Braille and all those different kind of things?
Yeah, originally that was the main reason for me to go is because they had said, ironically, they had told me that by the time I was 21, I'd probably be blind. So originally the reason for me to go was for me to learn Braille. And then once I got there and realized like, oh man, there's other people that, because I was terrified to go to MSB. Like when my parents sat me down on the couch and told me, I was like, oh no, this is going to be a bunch of people who ain't normal. You know, like, because that's the idea that you get about blind people from TV and, you know, whatever. But then I showed up and yeah, that was not the case. And so I was like, I want to stay because originally I was a Keys student, but I learned the alphabet in literally 2 days. And then it took me about maybe a month and a half to get all the contractions. And then they switched it up on me right before I left and came out with that unified English Braille. But yeah.
Well, very good. I tell you, listening to him, Bev, you can, I'm just so excited for this young man. You can tell he's in the right spot, being the PR for BLVCM. I'm just so glad that he's a part of this
Yes.
organization.
Oh,
So,
me too. And
yeah.
it's not an easy position, you know. And James, I've tried to reach out to people, younger people out of high school who are visually impaired to get them, but I can't seem to find out what their interest is. There's a friend of mine that his daughter is blind. And I've invited her several times, and he said no, she pretty much stays in a room and plays on the games, you know. And I, we got to get her out, and you know,
You
and
give their number, or you give my number to them, and you have them call me, and I'll change that very fast.
I have a feeling you would,
Because
you know,
what you
you
just said with the game thing, that's that you know, that's my biggest pet peeves is, you know, look, I was just on the roof like 4 days ago when it was pouring down cats and dogs, and I was up there with my stepdad on top of the roof. We're literally getting soaked like we had jumped in the river, and we're patching the roof up and stuff. You know, I own every tool you can think of. I work on cars. I put in stereo equipment. I do any and everything. Nothing stops me.
Wow.
Will not allow it. And that's my old lady gets so mad at me because, you know, like, say, for example, I'm like fixing the sink or something. I'm like, oops, I forgot a pipe. Can you take me back to Lowe's? You know, like,
yeah.
So nothing stops me. I do a lot. And something that I don't like is when I hear of somebody who's visually impaired or blind and they feel as if they are not capable of doing something. And that's one of the things I've talked to Jeff about is in the future, once we have the funding and stuff, I want to do workshops to teach people how to change a tire, to jump off a car, to change a battery. And I know that that might not seem like, you know, it's feasible for somebody who's blind, but it's for sure is. And you might not think that you're, you know, you need to do that, but you never know. Even if you're coming out of Walmart and, you know, somebody happens to not know how to change the tire and they're about to pay a tow truck, you know, $80. Oh, no. I can show you how to take your spare off. I want the whole community, any of the members that are under the impression that their impairment is stopping them, we got to change it.
Yeah,
and so her
yeah.
sitting in a room, I get it when you're listening to a book because I'm a book fanatic and, yeah, I love it. But you got to get outside. You got to get out in the world and you got to be active and you got to be motivated and you got to understand that ain't nothing going to stop you except for you.
And you feel better about yourself when you 100%. Get out there. You know, that's when I totally lost my sight. My daughters were 3, 6, and 10 and a husband. And I had no time to sit around to have a pity party. I just had to figure out, how am I going to do it? How am I going to continue the role as a mother, a wife, you know, taking care of everything. So you just got it. You got to do it. You know, I thought you said, like, changing the tire. I thought you said jumping off a car.
I thought he said that too.
No, ma'am.
Instead of jumping.
No, well, yeah, so that's what, so I believe that's what I said, but I would say you're jumping the battery, my bad.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about.
Why do I need to jump off a car?
Yeah, I was going to ask him that too,
In the future, if somebody says that to you, like if you happen to be talking to Lee and that's what you hear him say, just know we're saying that we're you know, making sure that it's not dead anymore.
Yeah.
We're getting that battery back to life.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my gosh. Chip, our time is going to go way too fast here.
Yep.
I absolutely am so impressed with James here and what all he's got to do. Now, I understand, too, that frustration you might have with you have to depend on your wife to take you to the store to go get that extra part. I bet she's learned some parts herself, though, from you. She's learned a lot from you, too.
Oh, yeah. So that's not too long ago, her mama was buying a new car. And, you know, it's too funny because, you know, when we first met, she couldn't even, if I said, hey, how many lug nuts is on the car? She wouldn't even know what that was.
Right.
But not too long ago, her mama was going to get a new car. She's like, well, how many miles is on it? You know, is it a salvaged title? Did you check the oil? Is there a check engine light, et cetera, so on and so forth. So it's pretty funny.
Oh, good. Good. And you'll have that little one-year-old daughter out there doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. By the time that my kids are 5 years old, they're going to know any type of roadside emergency assistance. They will know it for sure.
That's great. I'm going to tell you about Missouri School for the Blind. I just went Sunday. They had Lions Club Day there.
Right.
Where they invited all the Lions clubs in the area. So it's the first time I've been able to go to the School for the Blind and see what all they do. And I was so impressed. The thing that I came back with is these kids are all happy. They are all laughing. They're congeal with each other. Do you get that in public schools?
I don't know. My experience at MSB, things probably have changed a lot. It's been a long time since I was there. But for me, my experience at MSB, it was okay. Yeah. And I'm sure if you talk to them, I don't know, you know, what staff members are still there, but if you talk to them about me, I'm sure they probably would have some few choice words to
say. Yeah, he's
say
the one that
me.
Jumps off a car.
Yeah. No, they probably tell you about the boys swimming team when we was climbing around on the Indiana School for the Blind roof. But
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we was crazy. But I do know that Jeffrey Barney,
yeah,
I know when he showed up at the end when, you know, I was going to school there. I know when he showed up, he was very adamant about making sure that the students were happy, mm-hmm. that we had what we needed, that, you know, all of our needs and, you know, were met. And, you know, I think he was there for about 2 months and every single dorm had a brand new bed. And I know that that probably sounds like, oh, who cares? But it was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, going from, you know, cause you come home and you're like, you got your own blanket, your own bed, it's comfortable. And you come to school and you got to sleep there, you know, for 4 or 5 days and sometimes mm-hmm. months if you were part of extracurricular activities. I was one time for 3 months straight between track events and space camp and beta. I was at that school for 3 months. I didn't come home. And so when he did that, that was a big deal. And then he's very good about, you know, he got a music playground. There was just a lot of things that he did do right before I had left.
Uh-huh.
And it was very exciting to me that somebody was stepping in that was like, you know, let's change some things up. Let's do some different things. Let's make these kids happy. Let's make sure that they truly feel like this is a home away from home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great. You know, the go ball, you know, I got to hold the go balls in my hands, you know, and I've heard about that activity, but never experienced it. And when the young man that was taking us, and because I was about the only Lions Club member that was blind, it's like we had our own personal tour because we were lagging behind of the others.
Right.
Because they were letting me experience a lot of things. And the young man said, hey, would you like to go outside and see the track? It wasn't part of the tour. And I go, yeah, I would like to see that. So he showed me, they called it the wire. I call
yeah,
it
the wire, yeah.
Rod, you know, because it's solid.
So stiff and, yeah.
Yeah, and I could follow that. And I thought, you know, mm-hmm. the one thing I miss is running, walking fast and running.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I could do it in my garage since I don't have a car out there. I started to run in the garage and I ran into a little red wagon.
I would say at home, I'd probably get a treadmill.
Yeah. Stay in the same place.
Yeah.
But you do, you miss things like that. And, you know, to shoot the basket. You know, to hear that sound, to aim for that, you know, I was so excited when I came home. The 3D models that they were putting together.
Oh, with the 3D printer?
Yes. Yeah. I want to get one.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. But I'll tell you what you're talking about, though, that's one of the things that, you know, I've collaborated with Josh is ideally before the end of the year, you're going to play a game of goal ball. I don't know if you want to play with like me or Josh, but that's one of the things that we're trying to get done is like we had spoke to Jeff about, like, we want to get the goal ball equipment. We want to get the mm-hmm. beat ball equipment. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, one of the things is when we get together to do the social quarter events,
yep,
everybody's going to know how to play goal ball. And I'll leave that to Josh. He can teach everybody and all the games and the rules and stuff. But
that is so cool. Illinois, I came from Illinois, and I knew they talked about go ball there. I wasn't blind at the time, but my sister-in-law was legally blind, and she got involved with a federation there in the Chicago area. And that's where I learned about go ball. And when I felt that ball, I go, man, you use your body, you know,
yep.
With, this has got to hurt.
Well, they wear pads, and that's why I said, I don't know if you want to play with me or Josh. you know, Josh is a big old boy. I'm almost 6 feet
yeah.
tall and like 200 pounds. I don't know if you want us to throw the ball at you, but maybe you and Wanda can compete against you, eating each other, you know. But.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Oh, Chip, we've got an exciting year ahead of us here.
Oh, you bet. You bet. That's right. Mm-hmm. And we're just getting started. We've got so much to look forward to. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're here to support you, James. You know, we'll help whatever we can do.
For
so
sure.
We're backing you all the way. I have another question for you. What hobby do you have?
Playing with my tools, buying new tools, finding out about tools I've never known about, listening to books, changing diapers. and then I would say something that, you know, I'd gotten Josh, Lee, and Colin, and then Colin's brother, Caston. We started this last year. I was sick of the fact that nobody would hire me, even though I feel as if I'm more intelligent than anybody 50 miles radius of me. But nobody will hire me.
You joined just to shut him up, right?
Yeah, at first, for sure.
He's a good young man. I've known him for a long time and his family. And they're a lot of fun to be around, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Chip?
Yep. So I don't know what happened, but I got knocked off, and I don't know. I'm hoping that we still did the recording. So I'm not sure where we're at here. But when Josh was talking about nobody would hiring, that's where I got knocked off. So I'm hoping that we got all the recording, but we'll see. So
yeah, we got to do it all over again, James.
we'll see. Yeah. So I really appreciate your being our special guest here today, James. It's been absolutely wonderful. You know, things that you've talked about, things that you've shared, that's what we want the members of BLVCM to hear, to get to know you close and up front. You've been a really great guest. We really appreciate hearing your energy, your enthusiasm, your excitement, and we just love it. So was this something that you had approached Jeff about that you would like to do to be PR for BLVCM?
Oh, yeah. It was maybe the second to last assembly meeting. And he was asking if anybody wanted to take over the role of the interactive chair and the PR chair. And we got off the phone, and then me and Lee called Josh, and then we called Jeff just immediately as soon as we got off the phone.
Yeah.
That's
and I got,
great.
I got to tell you too, James, I'm hoping from today's interview, people listening to you, maybe in the past, they didn't know who you were or anything like that, that they want to be a part of your committee. But let me just say too, because I know Bev has had some real good experience being public relations. I've had some experience. So if there's ever anything that I can do to assist you in any way, just reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you in any way that I can. If you ever want to do any type of, you know, recordings, doing updates about what you're doing, we can do that. Get the word out about what you're doing. You know, I know that you can do that during each month's membership meeting. But if you want to do anything really special, just give me a call. We can do something and get the word out about it. So, or anything else that you would like my assistance when it comes to public relations, let me know, and I'd be glad to help you any way I can.
For sure. Thank you all very much. I 100% will.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision community in Missouri, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right here next time on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision community in Missouri. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, Enjoy your week, and we'll look forward to having you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.